ahead and get my slideshow ready to go. Listen, folks, we are in the most dangerous time in the history of America. More dangerous than before the Civil War, or before World War I, before World War II. We're a more dangerous time than those days when we were taught as kids how to hide under our desk if there's a nuclear explosion, as if that would help. You know, we lived in some scary times, but this is a season right now that as many as one out of four young people, they're confused about who they are, their gender, why they should even live. One out of four. And if we think because we come to church on Sunday that our families are exempt. When your kids are in school, what, 5, 6, 7 hours a day, 5 days a week, and 1 hour of children's church is going to do it? Mm-mm. There has to be a move of God in our homes. The church has got to go outside these four walls and to reach children. And if it's the case for those that are in the church, imagine how bad it is for those that have no foundation in God, that have no hope, that have no one to pray to, and do not have Romans 16:20 that says he will soon crush Satan under your feet. Did you hear that? He will soon crush Satan under your feet. It's time for you to crush his head. Crush his head in your families. Crush his head in your workplace. Crush his head in our community. It's time to crush his head. My message today is entitled Cat 5 Crush. Category 5 Crush. So if we could have the lights, please. You've heard of Idalia, I'm sure, the hurricane that hit Florida. It's interesting when you watch the weather maps about it. And so I was watching all the latest tropical updates, and it started down here just as a tropical disturbance, they called it. And it quickly escalated as it got into the warm, record warm waters of the Gulf of Mexico, some places reaching 100 degrees. Imagine jumping into Lake Huron, it's 100 degrees. That's what it's like there in Florida. So in that, as it hit those warm waters, it quickly escalated into a Category 1 hurricane. It became a hurricane. And then it became a Category 2. Category 1 is like 70-something miles per hour. Category 2, you're approaching, you know, 90-something, maybe 100. Category 3, you're now over 100 miles per hour. And again, that warm water was just fueling it. And actually, before it hit land, it actually became a Category 4 with winds of somewhere, I don't know, 130, 40 miles per hour, something like that. I'm not sure exactly when it made landfall. And then as it came over land, it settled back down into just a hurricane and then a tropical storm. Now, as I was wrapping up my sabbatical, after my sabbatical, as I was wrapping it up in the end of July, a disturbance in my spirit about what is happening with our kids. It was just a disturbance in my spirit about what's happening in our nation and in our world. Began to develop into a storm, a swirl, a prophetic swirl. The storm is brewing in my heart and in my spirit. Something that a term I learned from Lou Engel, the great prayer leader, he calls it a prophetic swirl because he has found himself in these prophetic swirls. And what a prophetic swirl is when God starts speaking things to you or you have dreams, and then all of a sudden some prophet comes along and confirms what you have just dreamt or what you're feeling in your spirit. And then this situation happens and it falls right in line with everything God's speaking to you. Then this situation happens and it's not coincidence. It is God moving in your life. And if you recognize when God is doing something like that, you get in a swirl and just confirmation after confirmation. So as I asked the Lord, after the sabbatical, what are you saying to me? It was very clear, and I've shared it already with you. Children, youth, young adults, rescue them. Rescue them. Help set a foundation of truth in them. So that was the first thing he was speaking to me out of my sabbatical. The second thing, and it's not unrelated to the first thing, the Lord says, you're not done with the Port Huron statement. Next one. You're not done with the Port Huron statement. I've been trying to cut down, ever since I came to Port Huron, basically, except for our revival meetings, you know, when I came here, everybody, all the pastors are like, I guess they heard about me, they knew about me. Yay, we're going to have revival in Port Huron. We're going to have revival meetings. And I'm like, settle down. I've got to move into a new house. I got to, after living in Ann Arbor for decades, I'm shifting a new home. I got to get a new church. I got to get readjusted. And eventually, as time went on, you know, the Lord says, now. And we started different revival meetings, had conferences and such. But I haven't attended many conferences. I used to attend a lot of conferences. I used to go to things. But I just stopped all that. I had to focus here. I felt I needed to focus on our own church. But this week, the Lord says to me, or a couple weeks ago, about these meetings happening this past week. And if I ever heard the Holy Spirit, I heard Him clearly say, go to those meetings. And as I was in these warm waters of a revival atmosphere, this prophetic swirl began to strengthen. At first it was a cat one, but it quickly goes to cat category two, and as the week goes on, I'm on a category three. Then Friday night, category four and landfall. And category five is upon us. And Jessica felt prophetically about the anointing. Shekinah glory come. And she talked about God wants to give us an anointing. God is about to give you a Cat 5 anointing. What does a Cat 5 do? It destroys. And it's for you to destroy the enemy. In your homes, your families, your city, and even our nation. Say, but pastor, I'm barely making it. I'm struggling. I got this problem. I got that problem. That doesn't stop God. You look at the characters in the Bible and they all had issues. But God told them to do the work that He has called them to, and He's calling us to something. So, Lord, I just pray that as I continue in this word that You'd help us. But help Your message to get across, I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, so as we continue through the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans, we've been on it for, I don't know, maybe a year already or more. And we're coming to the finish here, Romans chapter 16. And I'm a biblical expositor. I like to ask the Lord, what book do you want me to teach out of? And I'll teach verse by verse. That way you don't just get some agenda. You're getting the Word of God. But it's interesting that every time I do that, that whatever scripture we're on is relevant to what's going on. And it's speaking to that time that God planned us to be in Romans 16 this morning on Labor Day because He has a labor for us that's more powerful than anything else to do. So Romans 16, go ahead, next slide. And this is where we pick it up. We did all the names, remember that? For four Sundays, we talked about all the names and their meaning and what it's saying to us. Then the apostle continues and he says, now, I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine or teaching which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil, and the God of peace, say peace. The God of peace will crush, say crush, Satan under your feet. Shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Cat 5. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Or as one of the prophetic, great prophetic voices today, Lance Walnow, who spoke this past week, he texted to me yesterday, something good is going to happen. Something good, because we are in the thumb. And there's a prophetic significance to the fact that we are in the thumb of Michigan, which I'll get to in a moment. But let's look at our text again. And he says this, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine or the teaching which you learned, and avoid them, for those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Smooth words, flattering speech, deceive the hearts of the simple. Today, there is a plethora of those who cause divisions. They are all over social media. They're all over platforms such as YouTube and others. They are contrary to the doctrine or teaching which we learned. We learned from reading our Bible that God the Holy Spirit is still working. The gifts of the Spirit are still in operation. God still heals the sick. Demons are still being cast out, and the gift of prophecy is in full operation and even increasing in these last days. That is the doctrine which you have been taught. But there are those that will try to pull you away and make you cynical about the things of the Spirit. They are false teachers. They're the ones, Paul says, mark those which cause divisions among you. They are divisive. The language they use against men of God and women of God is just mind-boggling. Acts 2:17, next scripture. So, they say the gifts of the Spirit have ceased. False teachers say the gifts of the Spirit have ceased. This is what the Bible says, and I will follow the Bible, not some false teacher. It says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, not in the first century, or not when just the apostles were around. It says, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Point to yourself and say, he's pouring out his Spirit on me. Are you flesh? Do you have flesh? Anybody here have flesh? He's pouring out his Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall cease to prophesy, because the gift of prophecy has ceased after the last apostle died. Oh, sorry. No. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. This is in the last days. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. That is the truth. And these false teachers, contrary to the Word of God, say that none of these things are in operation today. Those who claim to function in these things are false prophets. And you women, shut up. That's what they're saying. No, you false prophets, shut up. One of the reasons I felt I needed to be in these meetings this past week is because Lou Engel, a great prayer leader and gatherer of the younger generation to pray, he was going to be there to minister. And I've talked about the fact that I work closely with Lou Engel on the Call Detroit 11-11-11, which literally transformed the great Motor City. It transformed Detroit. When we did the call. Detroit was bankrupt, the largest city to ever in history declare bankruptcy. It was full of corruption. It was a mess. It's changed. It's changed. It's not perfect yet, but it has changed. And it was probably the most unique of a dozen or so stadium events that Lou has put on across the country, including 400,000 young people in Washington, D.C. on the Mall. He just has this gift of gathering people to pray and to fast and to worship in key places. When he came, when the Lord told him to come to Detroit on 11-11-11, I told him, I said, Lou, Detroit is the blackest city in America, and this needs to be the blackest call in the history of the call. And guess what? It was the blackest call in the history of Lou Engel's call meetings. That's why we don't see in Detroit the racial hatred and violence you see in other cities. It's just not there because we pounded that thing. Oh, yeah, there's incidents here and there. A transformation. But Papa Lou, as we called him, he said something powerful last Monday. He said, when you disregard the prophetic, you become mere mortals. I was like, whoa. What he's saying is, yes, there have been abuses and mistakes and seeming unfulfilled prophecies that men and women have given. But if you throw out the prophetic and just limit yourself to reason, you limit the divine in your life. You limit the influence of the Spirit of God. If you throw out the prophetic and just limit yourself to reason, let me tell you, I was never close to throwing out all the prophetic, but I perhaps became too critical of some of the prophetic. And Papa Lou pounded and pounded Monday night on the absolute importance of the prophetic and dreams. We need to start paying attention to our dreams. We're going to have a gathering sometime soon. We're going to call it a dream stream. And I want you to be paying attention to your dreams, journaling, and we're going to come together because God speaks through dreams. It's in the Bible. Okay? So he was pounding on for 15 minutes. If you can, go to Oakland Church, the Facebook page. They're probably on YouTube too. Oakland Church, go to the Monday night, night number 2 of the revival nights, and listen to at least the first 15 minutes of Lou Engel. See, the Bible affirms reason. The Bible is a reasonable book. You know, there is reason, and we're to use our minds. But the supernatural fills the pages of the Bible. We got supernatural stories that defy reasons. The reason, I mean, in this book. Like a big fish swallowing a prophet. And the prophet repents and he spits them out on the beach. You know what Bill Maher said? He said, a stupid, stupid story. Jordan Peterson said, let me explain it to you. And straightened him out of the powerful meaning. If you don't speak when God tells you to speak, you endanger your life. And you could endanger whole cities. Nineveh would have been destroyed if Jonah didn't go to them and preach what God put on him to preach. And so Bill Maher kind of, ooh, okay, I didn't see that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 19 through 21 says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. This is what you do. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good and abstain from every form of evil. So if there's a prophecy and it's somehow promoting evil or calling you to do something evil, like, oh, the Holy Spirit told me to have this affair with this guy or this gal. No, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's some other spirit. Okay, so you test prophecies. Well, prophet so-and-so, I sent him a seed offering of $100 and he prophesied it over me. He prophesied I should leave my spouse. That's a false prophet. You test everything and you say no. And he said how, Lou said how it's in the prophetic that is in our lives, the prophetic words, the God speaking to us through dreams, speaking to our hearts, that personal destinies are fulfilled. And if we cast out the prophetic, we will miss our destiny, your personal destiny. So, as I said, I asked the Lord, what are you saying to me then, as I closed out my sabbatical? So what are you saying to me? And he says to me, next slide, I still want a Port Huron restatement. I'm like, I thought I was done. I did what I could. I did what you told me to do as best I could. And I failed. I'm sorry. I didn't talk to Lou Engel or any national figures. I tried, but it didn't work. And I failed. But I did what we could, and I know something good's still going to come out of it because we prayed for 6 months, night and day, every morning, every evening for 6 months, and I know something good's going to come out of all this. But I'm done. I tried best I could. And he said, no, you're not done yet. This Port Huron restatement is your job, the Holy Spirit says to me. This is your job. That's why I brought you. Think you came to Port Huron to go body surfing? No. I tricked you. Jeremiah. Book of Jeremiah, I think it's chapter 20, says, you tricked me, God. So, I go to this meeting. Brent Hansen tells me, did you get tickets to the luncheon? And I said, what luncheon? So there's a luncheon for pastors. And I said, no, I didn't get anything. Do you want them? Yes. And so, because I felt the Lord wanted me to go to all these meetings. So he got me a couple tickets. He said, come. It's a VIP luncheon. Ooh, VIP. And who's there? Lou Engel. He's sitting at the table right next to me. Before we all sat down, I had a minute to say hi to him. He says, hey, Pastor Joe. I said, Luke, can you give me 2 minutes? Just give me 2 minutes. And you guys have been praying. Remember, I asked you to pray that I get connected with him. So he said, sure, I'd love to. So as dinner, lunch was over and people were leaving and they're trying to shoo Lou up to the main auditorium, but I stuck my face right in his face. And I said, Lou, have you ever heard of the Port Huron statement? And he said, no, I haven't. And I gave him the 1 minute, explanation. And he's thinking, and I wrote it down, the Port Huron statement, 1962. He's looking at it, he said, you're talking about a root in our nation. I said, Lou, I was at the call, Berkeley, where you celebrated 50 years, or you acknowledged the 50-year anniversary of the free speech movement, 1964. This was 2014. I was there. He said, you were there? I said, yeah, I was there. But that was the free speech movement in Berkeley was old hat because it all started in Port Huron 2 years earlier. He said, write this down for me. And I wrote it down, gave him the website and everything. I don't know what's going to come out of it, but I'm like, I came out of that meeting. I'm like, I thought I had failed, and God opened a door for me to talk to Lou Engel. The thing the Lord spoke, you can go back to the message. On our way back from a meeting the other night, Gene and I put on my message I preached about the Port Huron Restatement. It's on my sazik.weebly.com page. And I listened to it, and I said, I need to get to Lou Engel, and it never happened in that year and a half that we were doing the Port Huron Restatement. So, stick with me, folks. So that's Sunday afternoon. Then a woman is brought up. I actually watched an interview of her. I don't know how I got this. It just popped up on my recommendations. Jenny Donnelly, and she's interviewing Jonathan Russo, who was the son of the pastor who hosted these meetings, Dominic Russo. And as I heard her ask about Jonathan's testimony and how God took him from a pastor's kid to own a massive used car dealership, and now he holds revival meetings in the showroom of the car dealership every month or so, called The Hub, which we are all going to go to in October. We're going to the October Hub. It's a Thursday night, so we're gonna cancel Thursday night here that night. I'll give you more info about it, but we're going to The Hub because it's a hub for revival. But so she comes up to speak, and what she is doing is she is gathering, has been gathering, thousands of women together to help them come into their destinies and become the mama bears to save their children. And God called her to gather 1 million women on the Mall in Washington, D.C., October 12th, 2024, the Day of Atonement. 1 million mama bears saying, "Leave our kids alone." I said 1 million mama bears saying, "Leave our kids alone." So, mama bears, pack your bags, get ready for a trip in October. We'll rent vans if we have to, but we're going to go there. It's next year, yeah, not this October, 2024. But before that, she talked about another gathering, and that's when Lou Engel comes back and he says God has called him to do what he has been calling the Esther call. We had there's been the call Nashville, the call DC, call Detroit. This is going to be the Esther call, to call the moms, the Esthers, the women of God, to come and declare before the king, leave our children alone. So if you know the story of Esther, go ahead, next slide. So Esther was a king and in Medo-Persian Empire. He was the emperor, and his queen dishonored him, and so she was removed. So they were looking for a new queen, and they find this beautiful woman named Esther who was Jewish. And so they get her all ready to become the queen. Well, in the meantime, a man by the name of Haman, who became jealous of the Jews, and there was a man named Mordecai, Esther's uncle, who was being praised by the king and such, and this man Haman hated the Jews, and so somehow he arranged things so that the king, unknowingly or unwittingly, made a decree to kill all the Jews in the empire. So Mordecai, Esther's uncle, comes to his niece Esther and says, "You're the queen. You need to go before the king and tell him that they tricked you, and if they kill all the Jews, that includes you." And she says, "I can't do that. That's against the law. Because in the law there, you can't, even if you're the queen, you can't approach the king, the emperor, unless he calls for you. And if you go on your own initiative to meet with him without him having to call you, he could have you executed right then and there for dishonoring him." But then Mordecai tells her this, chapter 4, verse 13 of Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews." So while she's saying, "I can't do it," says, "Don't think you're going to escape. You have to do this. Moms, mama bears, ladies, women, you can't escape what is coming on this nation. You've got to make a stand before the king. We need to go to D.C. But before we go to D.C., on April 13th, 2024, 4:13, we are gathering at Lansing, along with women all across the nation, gathering in their state capitals to say, "Leave our kids alone." And we're going to that. Because I'm going too, because the Mordecais are to go and support. Husbands, men, we pave the way. We're going to help our wives. We're going to take care of babysitting, whatever needs to be done. We're the Mordecais. We take care of the ladies so they can go and make a stand for their children. And if we can go too, let's go. If we bring the kids, let's bring the kids. Let's see a million people gather on the steps of the Michigan State Capitol and tell our governor, leave our babies alone. Anybody here this morning? So, all this back to our text. God wants to crush Satan under our feet. And if you say, nothing's going to happen, this doesn't happen, it's happening. South America has kicked out all this LGBTQ gender confusion and laws about this. You know, people have genuine issues, okay, but you don't push it to every kid, causing them to make, without your permission, changes to their bodies that will be for that with them the rest of their lives. That's wickedness. That's outright evil to bypass the parents' authority. But do you know in Peru, a movement arose and women gathered at their capital and they said, go to the next, leave our kids alone. And they kicked out all this stuff and George Soros kicked out of that country. He wouldn't put any more money into the wickedness there because he lost. And it started spreading all across South America. And they've already said that when you gather at your capital, we are going to go to every one of our nations. We're going to gather by the thousands in front of the U.S. embassies in our countries and say, leave the kids alone. Folks, this is, God wants to crush Satan under our feet. Don't be waiting for somebody else to do it. He said he'll crush Satan under our feet. Amen? So, let me wrap this up. I'm at Cat 2 by now. This is Sunday night, and I'm at Cat 2. Jenny then shares this. She gets up there, and she says, I haven't even shared this with my husband. I haven't shared this with Lou. I haven't shared this with anybody. Now, how many of you remember the dream I told you about that popped up on my Facebook memories last week or a week and a half ago? Pops up on my Facebook memories. I completely forgot about a dream I had 10 years ago. And in this dream, Gene and I were adopting and fostering children. You know, we wanted to do that, and the state said no to us. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. We qualified. The local agencies were like, we don't understand this. You are the perfect people to foster children. But the state said no. So I have this dream that Gene and I are fostering and adopting children, but we're in trouble with the law because the law wants the kids. The authorities want to take the kids from us so that they can traffic them, okay? So that they can send them into sexual things and traffic them as slaves. And so Gene and I are constantly in trouble. We're trying to evade the authorities. We're the criminals! We're trying to help kids and adopt them and foster them, and we're criminals in this dream. And so we're having to hide out and all this stuff. I go to the colleges, and I say, listen to what they're doing. They made us criminals to save kids. And the college students rose up, the Gen Zers rose up and said, we're with you. We're going to help you save the kids. And a great movement, this is my dream, 10 years ago, that broke out on the college campuses. Pops up on my Facebook memories. I completely forgot about it. Jenny Donnelly gets up there. She said, I haven't told anybody this. I haven't told you, Lou. I haven't told my husband, Bob. I haven't told you. She said, but 2 nights ago, I had a dream. Jenny shares this dream. And she says, in the dream, I'm with some Gen Zers who are going and rescuing children, and I'm helping them. Except we're the criminals, and the authorities are after us. And so, she talks about how she had a van and had some Gen Zers were driving it, And she was there. Gen Zers are like the college age, young adults. And so they're driving this van. They go to get the kids, and she realizes she's going to need to get in the driver's seat for the escape once they get the kids in the car. And that's her dream. And I'm sitting there with my mouth dropped open. Do you see the prophetic swirl? Do you think that's an accident that pops up on my Facebook memory and I happen to read that? I get Facebook memories every day, but I don't read them all. That one pops up. I read it. Jenny Donnelly has basically the exact same dream. That's God speaking. In the last days, he said, I'll pour out my spirit and your old men will dream dreams. I'm at a Cat 3. I mean, it's just Sunday night and I'm at Cat 3 already. And a couple more things. Other person the Lord spoke to me about making sure I hear this past week was Jonathan Russo. And he's been moving an incredible combination of marketplace impact and revival. And what does he preach? He gets up there and he says, God is calling you all to a Cat 5 anointing. A Cat 5 anointing. And he's telling some stories and such. And he said this. He said, he calls his meetings the hub. And he said, God is calling you to be Cat 5 with the Cat 5 anointing he wants to put on you. But God is raising up churches to be spiritual and revival hubs in every community. And what have the prophets been telling us? This is a hub. This is a hub for revival. And he's saying, you people called to be hubs, it's time. Time to be that revival hub. And so at this point, I'm approaching Cat 4 in my prophetic swirl. Then comes Friday night. So Gene and I go to this meeting where Lance Wallno, one of the premier prophetic voices in the world today, is the speaker. Okay. Now, something I forgot to tell you that I was, was that as the Lord was speaking to me about not being done with the Port Huron restatement, I felt like he was telling me that as soon as I finished this book about my dad, that my next book was not to be any of the other three or four books I've been working on, but to start a new one entitled The Port Huron Restatement. So this is what the Lord is speaking to me, to write The Port Huron Restatement to make it a book after I'm done with this book about my dad. I walk into the meeting and I bump into Cindy Williams Moore, one of our great prophetic people in our state. I bump into her, and she looks me in the eye, and she says, I'm praying for you to finish your book because the Lord says your next book needs to be the Port Huron Restatement. Prophetic swirl! Prophetic swirl! So anyway, we sit down. Lance Wallno is brought up to speak, and this is a man who was a businessman on Wall Street. Next one. Lance gets called out of, he's in Wall Street, he's a big-time businessman, but he gives it all up to go into the ministry. He's thinking, this is what God wants me to do, and I'm very, well, look how righteous I am. I'm giving up all my wealth and all my influence, and I'm going to become a pastor. And he becomes a pastor, but then the Lord says, go back to Wall Street. I want light there. I want salt and light in Wall Street. So he goes back into Wall Street, and the Lord gave him this revelation of the seven mountain strategy, that there are seven mountains in our culture, church and religion, that mountain. There's the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment mountain, and the business and economy mountain. And at the top of each mountain is a gate that controls that mountain. There's media. We know how corrupt media is, right? All the fake news and stuff. We know how corrupt the education system is, anti-Christ, anti-God education system. We know how corrupt politics is. We know all that. Well, there are people at the gates there. You know, it's just a few thousand people that control all us millions. Do you realize that? It's just a few thousand people that control these places. They say that Hollywood is entirely controlled by 300 people. Everything in Hollywood. That's it. And if that even. So he says, God is calling us back into the mountain to take the gates, because Jesus said to Peter, I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock of revelation of who Jesus is, I will build my church, the ecclesia, the ruling body. That's what church means. That word in the Greek is ecclesia, the ruling body, not a building, not a denomination. I will build my ecclesia, my ruling body, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So the church is to take the gates. I don't know, when I was growing up in the Lord, when I read the scripture, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And I imagine we're the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. And then I thought, wait a minute, gates don't jump and attack you. Gates are there. Oh, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And so he said, we got to take the gates in all these areas of culture. God might be calling you to your particular area of influence in one of these mountains, and he wants you to be an influence for the Lord. So by this time, then he gets into this whole side thing. He starts talking about how he has been involved with Michigan from way back in the 90s. He was coming here with Kim Clement, another prophet, who is a major international prophet from South Africa. And God tells him, go to Detroit. And he has meetings for years in Detroit. He moves to Dearborn, and this prophet, Kim Clement, is prophesying from Detroit. Lance was part of his team. So Lance was here the whole time. So he had something about Michigan. But then one of his best friends, who was a senator in Georgia, he had died. He had a heart attack, died, went to heaven. And God just revealed all kinds of stuff there to him. But he survived this heart attack. He came back to life after being no heartbeat for almost an hour. And he still came out. His wife was praying, said, Kim Clement prophesied over my husband that he's going to be a senator, and he hasn't been a senator yet. He cannot die. You cannot die. Get back here, honey. The doctors call the police. They're pulling the police and security. They're pulling her by the leg, trying to get her off his body as she's saying, get back here. You're not done. Meanwhile, he's in heaven, and he's hearing her voice. He's like, but I like it here. I really like it. He said there's a certain point if you cross, you can't go back. And the Lord tells him, get back down there. You have not fulfilled my purposes for you yet. And he came, all the machines went off. Everything started again. And he says, Dr. Gvorky in there, some doctor, is like, now look what you did to the wife. Now you're going to be pushing him around in a wheelchair, and he's going to be a vegetable his whole life. He's been brain dead for over an hour. Guess what? Perfectly fine, 24 hours later. He calls Lance Walno last year, and he says, Lance, the Lord told me, go to Detroit. God is about to do something in Michigan. You need to go to Detroit. You need to take the Seven Mountains to Michigan. You need to go there. Next day, he gets a phone call. That same guy, who had now had been a senator already and all that, lived a good life after that first heart attack, died. Boom. And so Lance calls his wife, trying to comfort her, and she's like, oh, he's fine, he's okay, you know. He did everything God told him to do, and I was in that conversation. You're the last person who spoke to him. And he's thinking, that's significant. I need to go to Michigan. And he talked about Michigan. He said, look at that! Look at that! And it reminds you of a hand. It's a hand. It's the hand of God. And there's a cloud over that hand. And listen, I'm gonna do this because you've got to see this because it speaks to us as a church. And thank you for being patient with me and all of this on a holiday weekend. But God has a destiny for our church. This is not your typical pastoral message. I know this is a prophetic message, but this is what God's calling us to. We're here in Assembly of God. I said, this is what God is calling us to, Port Huron Assembly of God. Anybody on board? Okay, now, let's see if I can do this, because I know I'm online already. I want you to hear from Lance Wallnow himself. Did any of you happen to watch this video, Friday night service? Raise your hand, anybody? Okay, good. You need to see this then. All right.
And it's at that point you actually can take it up. So having said that, here I am because Jenny McDonald, Jenny Donnelly is the gal. And I hear that she's coming. And so anyway, so Pastor Dominic, who's over here in Michigan, he's at the conference with his wife. He invites Jenny to come to his church. And Lou Engel was there speaking, invites Lou Engel. And then heard me and invited me. And because I just came back and I saw Michigan's name, I thought, am I even available? I said, yeah, I'll do it. And then right away, of course, I thought of Justin. I thought, well, I better tell him because he's been wanting me to come up here and I haven't ever done it. So I called him up and that's how I ended up here. What I'm saying is God is setting up the timing for something in Michigan. Now, when I was with Kim, I remember we would talk about Michigan. And one night we were discussing how Michigan has almost like looks like a hand with a thumb. And this is rather interesting because as I'm looking at it now, I'm thinking, wait a second. You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the verse in 1 Kings where Elijah says to Ahab, go up. After the fire comes down on Mount Carmel and the false prophets are wiped out, and Elijah goes up to Ahab and says, you better hurry up and move fast because it's about to rain. They've had 3.5 years of famine, and now the word of the Lord is going to change the environment with an outpouring. He says, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. So Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he crouched down on the earth and put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, go up and look now towards the sea. And he went up and looked, and he said, there's nothing there. He said, go back, go back. And he made him do this 7 times, and it came about, notice 7, it's interesting, came about that on the 7th time, the complete cycle, he said, behold, I see a cloud as small as a man's hand coming up from the sea. And Elijah said, tell Ahab to hurry up and go because it's about to rain right now. I want you to see what you have is a man's hand and the cloud about to break out. That's what you have. And I think that there's significance to this. You don't mind me saying so. Just for the record, I believe that one thing has been missing in America is the pastors that will step into the apostolic role. The apostolic role is slightly different than pastoring. Pastoring is taking care of the flock. Apostles take care of the territory. The difference is the pastors are interested as shepherds protecting theirs. The apostle is interested in protecting the city. Because they're raised up with territorial authority. They have a governing mantle that is larger than the congregation. It could be multiple organizations or congregations are under the grace, and it's all a grace gift. And I'm going to tell you now, God is raising up. The thumb is the typical signature of the apostle. It's the most conspicuous part of that hand over there is the thumb. Because it says that in Corinthians, chapter 12, if I'm correct, that God has so tempered the body together that even those less celebrated parts are distinguished. For instance, I have a friend of mine named Philip Capuccio, has a small church up in Boston at the time, but a brilliant and eloquent, powerful preacher. And he had a small church. And we'd go to the big churches. And sometimes the big churches had a good pastor who had a good word, kind of like a good word of faith word. But great administration, great location, and the church had 1,000 people. Meanwhile, poor Phil is over here with his struggling church of 50 to 75 people. But the banquet he would put out of the Word of God. And one day I was with him in a meeting and I was asking the Lord, why is it? Doesn't make sense. Why does this guy have this big church over here, and the guy that really has a almost like a gourmet palate is down here with a diner? I don't understand how this works. And Phil leans over me and said, Brother Lance, do you know that the largest bone in your body is the thigh bone? It carries the full weight of your body. The smallest bone in your body is actually a bone found in the inner ear. It is the ability you have to hear and distinguish sound. It's interesting that the large bone enables you to run, but the smallest bone enables you to hear where to go. Just gave me a revelation while I'm sitting next to him. I said, in this move of God, God is going to temper the body together in such a way that those that have had the smaller status are going to be lifted up into a greater position. And those that have been greater are finally going to be able to run in the purpose of God because they're aligned with those that don't have that same significance. God is tempering the body together in this move in a very unique way. And the reason why I can say that is because it's happening outside the old paradigm.
God is calling us to be an apostolic hub. And that's why I need you, my pastoral care team, so much. Because you've heard the prophecies also, Barbara Yoder said, that, you know, there'll be 5 years of me setting this church in order. Then he's going to move me on to a different level. And I'm not leaving. I'm here. But he's calling me now to that territorial apostolic role. And, you know, he's been speaking this to me for years, and I keep saying, no, I don't want to be an apostle. The Bible says the apostles are least of all. They're the dregs of the earth. We're like the offensive linemen. We get beat up, you know, because we're the ones making the path for the quarterbacks and the running backs and stuff. But this is what God's calling me and calling us as a church to. And so we're going to be really wrestling through this the next month. The quip is going to be huge this week. And so here's Michigan. Did you notice him talking about the thumb? Okay, the thumb represents the apostolic. I won't get into all that. But next slide, the thumb. He says the most conspicuous thing about Michigan is the thumb. And so I'm at Cat 4. And I'm about to hit land. And I said, I don't have personal connection to Lance Walnau like I do with Lou. But as I'm hearing him share all this prophetic stuff about Michigan, and I said, I gotta tell him about the thumb. And I gotta tell him about the Port Huron statement. So of course, I didn't even know if he's gonna be there, if he's gonna leave. You know, sometimes the big time speakers, they speak and they're gone. You know, I don't know if he's gonna be accessible. And he did leave as Cindy Williams came up and was kind of closing the meeting. But he came back. He had just changed out of his sweaty clothes. And he came back. And, of course, people were wanting to meet him. They're doing selfies with him and stuff. And I'm trying to, like, work around. And I just, he's ready to, there's a person in front of me who's talking to him. And just as I'm next, he turns to the guy over to the right, you know. And this happened over and over to the point where I'm like, I finally get him. And before he could move away, I said, have you ever heard of the Port Huron statement? And he said, no. I told him, it was 1962 that all of this negative stuff started in America, and it all started in the thumb in Port Huron. And I gave him, you know, the 30-second thing. And he said, write that down. Write it down for me. Write something down and give it to me. So I'm looking for paper, and a friend is there, and he gives me a piece of paper and a pen. I write down my website and Port Huron restatement, just name that. And again, I got to try to work through a crowd, get to him. Finally, get in front of someone and say, here's the paper. And then I had the quote of Justice Bourke, a former Solicitor General Bourke, who talked about the Port Huron statement. And I just read a sentence from it, from this paragraph I have on my website. And he's reading the sentence, and he grabs the phone out of my hand, and he's reading the whole paragraph, and he puts in his phone number, and he says, send this to me. I don't know what's going to happen, folks, but Landfall. Landfall. Something happened. And so, next slide, the next day I text him. I said, you keep talking about the thumb of Michigan, how it stands out. Interesting report here on is that in the thumb, the kingdom of darkness sent out its apostolic mandate from the thumb. Time to turn it around. He comes back. Something good is about to happen. Come on, let's stand up. Hallelujah. Lord, here we are. Lord, we want to submit to your will and your purposes, God. Lord, we sometimes it's scary, sometimes it's just, I've been running. I've been like Jonah many times, running away, but it can't run from you, Lord. And I pray that you'd help us on this Labor Day weekend to see the labor that you're calling us to, that I believe is an apostolic labor. I believe it's a labor of revival to become that revival hub in this area, Lord God. And from here to see revival spring out all across the thumb and all across down to Detroit and even into Canada and out to Flint. And Lord, that we would see your purposes come about. And Lord, we pray even right now. We pray for your will to be done regarding Lou, Lance, any of these big names, Lord God. I know we have this mandate right now that we need to work with them. And we need to go to our capital. We need to go to D.C. But Lord, I don't know what's next after that. And I believe there's something about Port Huron. Maybe even before then. And so God, help us. Lord, help us to crush Satan under our feet. Come on, give God a shout.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. So you know why I
picked this song. Ready? Lord, I just pray right now for everyone that's up here. Lord, I pray for that Satan crushing anointing to be upon them. I pray for a Cat 5 anointing to rest upon this church. Lord, I pray for everybody to step into their role, what part they have. It's not just the apostle, it's the pastoral care of this flock, the pastoral care, it's the taking care of this facility that you want to be a revival hub. It's all kinds of things, Lord God. And of course, children, youth, college kids. Lord God, raise up the teachers and the workers for the young people, Lord God, that we would see our generation, the young generation saved, Lord God, that you would protect, Lord. And we say to the enemy of our souls, leave our kids alone in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just believe, I have faith in my spirit to see even governments tumble down that have defied your word. I see them coming down as we gather, as the Esthers, the mama bears, gather together, Lord God. Lord, for their children, Lord, that they will make a stand that Lansing cannot deny, a stand that Washington, D.C. cannot deny. And we just thank you for this. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray your blessing on each and every one here today. Bless their weekend, the rest of their holiday. Lord, we lift up our... Anybody else need a healing touch? Just raise your hand real quick. Anybody need healing? Father, you see these who have a need for healing. You are the God that heals us. I am the God that healeth thee, you have declared. And so I just speak the healing power of God to flow. I don't even have to lay hands on people because you heal. You are the one that heals. And so God, touch right now in the name of Jesus each one who has need. Thank you, Lord God. And if you would like any other further prayer or anything, I'll be up here up front.